Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio.
Hello and welcome to the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast. I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and joining me this week is the Evening Standard, Steve Cording. Steve, nice for me to be back again. Sat on something a little bit more comfortable, I will say.
Yes, hello Lawrence. Without being too graphic, how is your bottom half, shall we say? A little bit sore?
A little bit sore, all over actually. I've just taken part in the Dallaglio Cycle Slam.
Well done.
For Rugby Works, my charity, along with a number of other, you know, similarly determined riders. We cycled from Rome to Nice, about 150 kilometres a day, roughly 2,000 metres of climbing a day, in 10 days. And I have to say that my preparation of two Peloton classes since Christmas was definitely underprepared. So, I suffered enormously, but I guess that's part of the deal. We raised over £300,000 and counting.
Well done.
People can still visit the link to Just Giving Lawrence Dallaglio.
We'll put that in the programme.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. It's the seventh cycle slam that I've taken part in. I've done them every 2 years. I love the idea of going from Rome to Nice.
Was that the first one you've done in Italy?
Yeah, no, we've been in parts of Italy before.
The scenery looks
It was incredible. I mean, it looks like we're having a great time on the social clips, but I can tell it was pain and suffering. There's 10 days of cycling. It's a long way. You're roughly in the saddle for 6 or 7 hours. And we finished in Siena up the Strada Bianchi, which is where they finished the main race. We took part in the San Remo Nice kind of a section of the Tour de France for this year. So it had its moments where it was incredibly tough. Sun shining. We had torrential rain. Anything and everything that can happen on a bike happened to us. But thankfully, we all got round and home safe and sound. And then I went straight into three matches.
I was going to say, nice weekend off for you.
I had a triple header because I'd taken two weekends off and I had to put a bit back. So I was straight down to Bath to watch Saracens flex their champions' muscles and overtake Bath into second place.
Did you stay awake? It was a bit dull in the first half, wasn't it?
It was a little bit dull. It was a bit of a kick fest. Then on Sunday, I was down at Gloucester Exeter. But the game that I probably enjoyed the most was the big summer kickoff. Harlequins, 65,000, whatever it was, at Twickenham against Northampton Saints. And that is beautifully segued to our special guest. Let us introduce the one and only Northampton Saints and England superstar, Tommy Freeman. Well, hello first. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Battered and bruised after the big summer kickoff. Does it feel like a big summer kickoff?
Yeah, it did, to be fair. Twickenham was rocking, to be fair to them. But no, it was a good game. Unlucky with the result, but no, came away unscathed.
Given that you're top of the table, it was always going to be an entertaining game with Quins because you both like to have a go, as they say. I mean, what was the frustrations? Was it, you know, that you didn't take advantage of the lack of discipline that Quins had? Or because defensively this season, you've been very strong, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we obviously reviewed it today and there was a few discussions. But ultimately, I don't think we kind of turned up and got our game on the park as quickly as we'd have liked. There was a lot of handling errors from our end that kind of denied some points when we got into their half. But yeah, like you said, they obviously went down twice and we probably didn't take that as much as we could.
It's a bit cruel at the end of the game to lose the losing bonus point as well. I kind of felt like, I mean, listen, I'm not going to moan about it, but I felt like it was a few decisions that didn't seem to go your way, really.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, there's probably some decisions that have gone our way in the past, so it's just rugby, isn't it? Can't blame him too much. But no, it was obviously a tough game and obviously to come away on the back end of a loss wasn't the best, but in terms of, like you said, for a crowd's point of view, to have two attacking styles of play going at each other must have been real good.
One decision, Tommy, that's come under scrutiny, and Lawrence talked about it yesterday, was Danny Kerr's yellow or non-yellow, shall we say.
I bet that was an interesting review in the I'm gonna spare your blushes. It was definitely a yellow card.
Yeah.
Okay. And after a line break, not because he dived over the ruck, because actually I think he got that bit right, but he actually pushed Ram in the back and didn't allow him to get to the breakdown. And as a perpetrator of many a cynical killing of the ball, I can tell you for a fact, the other thing that's quite surprising, Danny Kerr holds the record for the most yellow cards in the Premiership.
Does he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's left me, you know, way behind in terms of yellow cards. I think he's got 18 in total. And listen, he was fortunate. The bigger question is, and this is not for Tommy to decide, but when Carl Dixon, who is a top-class referee, international standard referee, probably one of our best, but no one's questioning his integrity or his bias, because he hasn't got bias, but when you've played with Danny Kerr and many of the Quinns team, it does open you up for a bit of scrutiny when there is a controversial decision. And as you know, in football, there is absolutely no way that anyone who played at any club would be allowed to referee a game against their club. So I think, if there's any learning from Big Summer Kickoff, I don't think he should be refereeing games against Harlequins.
Did you message DC afterwards, Tommy, and say you think you got away with one there?
No, but I remember when he came off, because he got subbed for Will, and when he came off, he gave me a little smile walking past. So I think he knew exactly what he has done.
Yeah,
I mean, I was pretty lucky to get away with that.
Just on the game itself, I mean, you guys have been attacking rugby at Northampton. It's always been in your DNA. Chris Boyd kind of really moved that on, and I think with Sam Vesti and your coaches there, it seems to have progressed even further. The defensive side of the game is where you've made significant improvements. I mean, you've kind of been on the edge of the playoffs. You've been there or thereabouts. Did you set yourselves targets at the beginning of the season? Was it to go that little bit further? And because it feels like you've got a team that can actually now challenge on not just, you know, domestic rugby, but also European front as well.
Yeah, definitely. We're headed down to Bicester and had kind of a talk as players. I'm not part of the leadership group, but the leadership group kind of definitely made a point of us players taking control, us kind of leading from the front, and obviously having the coaches around us to aid that was a big point. But no, I think obviously defence, Radders coming in, showing us a different kind of aspect and way of thinking about defence. Defence is probably one of those hard ones where it's not too dissimilar at each club, but it's kind of all about connections, I'd say, massively in Radders' defence, and obviously just wanting to hit people. And I think that maybe have lacked over a few years, but he's definitely kind of got our hearts on our sleeves when we want to defend, and we're defending for each other.
So Tommy, 8 caps for England. How many caps have you got to break into the leadership group? I mean, obviously, you've got a bit of catching up with Courtney. It's been an unbelievable breakthrough for you. You know, I don't want to make you blush, but you were one of the outstanding players in the Six Nations Championship. What's that whole experience been like? Do you feel like playing at Northampton has prepared you really well for international rugby, or did you really notice the step up when you suddenly in that squad and in that environment?
Yeah, I think obviously Northampton's is where you get picked. That's where you've got to play well to get picked. So no, in terms of that, I think they have massively helped. And then probably being in and out of camps over the last 3 years or so has probably kind of got me ready and kind of changed the way I think each time. Obviously under Eddie was obviously a bit of a different style of play, and kind of what he likes, and you have to kind of do what he likes to get picked. And this
Tom
same
Bowler
with Steve,
selection,
really.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So it's the same with Steve. I knew my high balls wasn't probably up to scratch as it could be, and I think that Steve made that pretty clear. And obviously the way England's played and the way we play is going after more aerial stuff. It was definitely something I had to work on. And then once I kind of got that up to scratch, I was then given my shot. So and then everything kind of took care of itself.
So you've played left wing, right wing for England. You've played centre on Saturday. You used number 15 on social media. where would you like to play? Where's your preferred position?
It's a tough question. If I was to choose one, I think 13, you get a lot more ball, not in as much space, but you definitely get a lot more ball. So
hardest position on the field to defend, though, Tommy. You know that.
It is, and that is something I'm still kind of hacking at. And there's still definitely elements of that I've got to improve to kind of play there, especially at an international level standard. But no, obviously the wing, I've had a lot of joy there as well, popping up in places, kind of roaming around more so than getting connected off things. So yeah, I'd say there's a mixture of a lot of positions. Obviously, I think I've said it in a few interviews about having that means you're going to probably be the 23 and the guy that can play them all. But no, I'm just trying to be the best in each position.
Just ask Austin Healy that. You want to nail one down, really.
He played every position, didn't he?
Listen, Tommy, I must ask you, obviously you've been outstanding Saints in Europe this season, you know, top in the group, top seeds. You've performed big games in the knockout stages. You're now in a semi-final. You've played against Leinster. You've been on the wrong end of a few results, but this is a tough assignment, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a neutral venue, but it's Croke Park, yeah? And, I mean, is it a bit of a not under as much pressure, shot to nothing, and Leinster will be slight favourites because of their pedigree in the tournament, but clearly you must be buzzing along with the rest of the group.
Well, just put it in context, Tommy wasn't, I don't, you were actually born, were you, when Northampton
won
it in 2000?
When Pat Lamb lifted the trophy.
No, yeah. I don't think I was.
No.
No. But, no. I just think, it's, you know, you're effectively playing Ireland, really, on Saturday.
Exactly that.
It's a, you know, which you know quite a lot about anyway, and you beat Ireland, so it's not that difficult, is it, really?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we had a meeting today and we kind of had a bit more of the understanding of the history of Croke Park. And I think the last time they played there was at 2007, and they've only hosted two club rugby games there. So no, for us, we understand the occasion, but we don't consider ourselves not favourites, or obviously whoever consider us favourites or not, but we're definitely going there with the intent to do a job and to do the best we can to put ourselves in the final. Obviously, I think personally, the pressure's probably on Leinster as it's Croke Park and the history behind Croke Park. There's probably some pressure coming on from their side. So we're going to give it everything we got. We're going to put our game out there as much as possible and hopefully come away with a result.
Well, I can tell you now, as someone who played in a semi-final of the Heineken Champions Cup against Munster at Lansdowne Road and managed to somehow conjure a victory, it's wish you all the very best with that
game.
Did
you ever play at Croke Park or not?
No, I didn't. I mean, it's a tough assignment because of the sort of passion and history.
That's fascinating that the club have actually given you a bit. Were you aware of the history of Croke Park until we had the meeting today or not?
Oh, well, I knew there was a little bit. There was obviously a small background of history, but no, to the depth we went in today, I probably didn't have a clue.
And now listen, we've seen Northampton, you're obviously currently top of the table and justifiably so. We've seen a lot of shoe tapping in the changing room after the game with your song.
Tapping? Yeah. A bit more than that, isn't it?
Well, it's
shoe bashing.
What is it, the Shoe Army song? I've got no idea, but give us a bit of your own Saints history about that. I suppose it's the city of shoes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We're a shoe town, and I think it originally came from the football teams. It was their song, and the football coach came in and obviously didn't mention it, but it's something we obviously work quite closely with them as well. So we kind of wanted to put it into our obviously town and use it as a Saints kind of song as well. We do love that song, and I'm sure you'll see it every single time we win. It's always being played every single week.
Well, Lawrence thinks there's a load of cobblers. Right, you see what I did there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you got a pack of cards nearby? I've seen you doing some magic tricks on Instagram.
You got a fresh pack.
And there we go. So is that something that you do a lot of? A bit of card tricks? Can you show us one now?
We used to play three card brag. I mean, I remember that much with the very little amount of money that we earned playing for England.
Well, it was the one you did that I saw that you did for the England boys. It was very impressive. I take it you know more than one trick.
Yeah, there's a few. It's quite hard over camera. I mean, I could probably show you the same one.
Come on, Tommy, you've got a bit of dynamo about you. Come on.
Here we go.
I don't think we've ever had a card trick on the pod before, have we? It doesn't really work for radio, does it? But you can watch this on YouTube. Oh, this is going to be good.
I'm saying going to pick a card, but I don't know how you're going to pick a card. That's the issue.
Oh, that's true.
You just say stop, right?
All right.
There you go.
Oh, stop.
Nice. I'll pull your card out. I won't look at
it. Lovely. Got that.
Right. Put it on top. Right. I'm going to give it a few more cuts. Got to get this right now.
Eight caps and you're in the magic circle already. I can't believe it. This is seriously impressive.
It's good, isn't it?
Jack of hearts and jack of diamonds. Hopefully your card isn't one of those.
Nope.
That's good. Oh, don't get this wrong. Right.
You can have two goes if you get it wrong, don't worry. We'll edit the other one. We only like superstars on our team.
Here we go.
So jack of hearts on the top.
Yeah.
Jack of diamonds on the bottom.
Yeah.
Jack of hearts on the top, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up for this bit because you'll see the hand. Right, hang on. All right. So jack of hearts.
Yeah.
Jack of diamonds. Oh. One card jumps in.
Turn it over.
One.
Very impressive.
Thank God for that.
And that's magic, Tommy.
There's a bit of pressure on that.
Well done, you. Under pressure as well. Clearly could cope with the pressure.
That's brilliant. Did you have to do one thing then, did you, to the boys? Or is that, so you've shown us the same trick. Is that the only one you know?
He's not a one-trick pony. Have you seen him play?
There's a couple others. But
Tommy, listen.
I don't do it too much in my spare time.
It feels like this happens at every club, but it's the end of an era. There's some big characters of the Northampton Saints leaving your club at the end of the season. You're alive in two competitions, obviously, you know, the likes of Courtney and the Waller boys and etc, etc. Does it feel like this is probably the best chance you've had in a long time of actually claiming, you know, some sort of silverware?
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of mentioned throughout these weeks. Obviously, the big summer kickoff, that could be the last, obviously, time they play at Twickenham. So that was kind of headlined going into the week. But yeah, I mean, the likes of Courts, Alex Waller, Ethan Waller, these lads have been around the club for years. And obviously, Alex Waller's kind of records, he's carrying on playing each week. He's got hundreds. And for him to obviously have been in finals previously and to share his experience of what we're going into, and obviously him getting that winner in the final as well, it's awesome kind of to be a part of his journey. And obviously the legend Courts on what he's done in his career, I mean, is really cool. So yeah, we're going to miss him for sure. But yeah, like you said, they've obviously helped us put us in this position. And then hopefully they'll have definitely left the club in a better place for us youngsters to keep pursuing and carrying on.
Now, it's well documented, Tommy, that you obviously suffer with epilepsy. For our audience of listeners who aren't aware of your story, what challenges has it posed for you, and does it continue to pose for you during your career?
There aren't many challenges. I think if you were to ask any of the other lads, they probably would forget I have it, to be honest. Luckily, it was just the one full seizure I've had back in 2019, I think it was. So yeah, obviously when it happened at the time, I thought it was the end of the world, and parents thought that was the end of rugby as well. So yeah, that bit was difficult and having to overcome that. But now being under control and having the tablets and the research into it, yeah, there aren't really many issues. It's just more the thoughts probably, that obviously you don't want to do things on your own, like go swimming, and it's stuff like that kind of runs through your head. Like you're in a swimming pool and you can't go, I don't know, if you popped a virgin without kind of letting someone know, or it's things like that. That's probably the hardest part. But outside of that, it
doesn't cause you the sort of, you don't get anxious about it really. You just kind of cope with that mentally, that you listen, if you have another seizure, it wouldn't be nice, but you don't get anxious about it.
No, obviously, no, God forbid. I remember having it, and it's the worst thing. Well, I think it's worse for the onlookers, to be honest, than me. But there's no anxiety on the pitch. There's no, I'm not getting myself in a state or anything like that. It's something I've just got to learn to live with. And
do you have to have any extra checks? Because obviously head injuries has become such a big part of the game now. Do you have to be monitored at all in any other way?
Yeah, I think the doc has said to me there's like obviously protocol in terms of the concussion stuff. They've probably just got to look at it a bit more carefully with me. But no, I don't think there's too much else other than that. It's more of a monitoring thing rather than you can't play, you definitely can't play, or get you back in this time. It's just monitoring how I am.
Yeah.
Tommy, quick name check for the family. Your parents must be very proud. I know mine certainly were. And any player who gets to represent his club and his country. I mean, my dad was Italian. My mum didn't really understand anything about rugby. But by the time they came to watch me, they knew everything. So are they right in behind you? Do your extended family come to every game and follow you around the Six Nations as well?
Oh yeah, big time. They didn't miss a Six Nations game. Mum and dad are proper supporters. They drove me around as a youngster, literally everywhere, did miles and miles. They came out to Australia, but yeah, Mum's the biggest critic, I'd say. God, I get a full debrief after every game from Mum.
She doesn't march up to the coaches after the game and start giving them
hope. I hope not. I wouldn't play each week if she did.
I think they used to avoid my mum. Do you think if you were lucky enough to get picked on the England tour to New Zealand, would they make the trip out there, do you reckon?
Potentially, yeah. I think they're probably.
Well, you might stop it. You might dig into your deep pockets and pay their airfare like I did.
Yeah, I think that's what would be asked for sure.
Well, hopefully your mum sorted out your shorts, hasn't she? I mean, that must have left her a little bit red faced. Did it in Rome or not?
I don't think they saw it until afterwards when they watched it on TV.
Brilliant!
I remember it. That was so bad. I remember being on the floor trying to pull them up, and I still couldn't. I was like, I can't stand up. I was on the floor for about 5 minutes trying to pull them up afterwards.
That must be quite a skill, that, to pull somebody, because you must wear what you must. must have shorts. You've got shorts underneath and trunks on as well.
You don't even think about that kind of thing, really.
It's, you must have had your pants pulled down a few times.
I've had plenty of steps on, trust me. Plenty. It's the worst injury I ever had, really, to be fair. Tommy, you're obviously got, you know, you're going over to Dublin. When will you guys head over?
I think we're going on Friday.
Okay.
Early morning, and then we'll probably head to the ground, have a little look at it, team run, and then fly in on Saturday.
Well, listen, I know it's obviously a massive game for you, for the club, for the fans. You know, you've been involved in test weeks. This will be a similar sort of feeling. We wish you all the very best. Really appreciate you joining us. You are the first magic trick we've ever had on the pod. So well done to you, and good luck at the weekend. We hope you go well.
Yeah, good luck.
Cheers. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, listen, that's very refreshing, isn't it, to hear. You know, he's such a talented player. You know, I remember my first 8 caps. It took me a while to really sort of grow into the confidence of playing for England. But he looks to the manor born, doesn't he?
Yeah,
really?
I mean, you played 6, 7 and 8. Does it really matter that Tommy hasn't got one specialised position?
Well, listen, if I had a preferred position, it was number 8.
Mm.
And it was the last position I was picked in. So, I mean, listen, he's very, very good. And I think he'll, whether he plays on the wing or outside centre, I think he'll be in the starting lineup unless he has any kind of injury or dip in form. So, you know, you don't want to be too good in every position. Otherwise, you do end up on the bench as a sort of a utility impact. But listen, England need that kind of competition for places to really move forward. But great to see him. And obviously, you know, if the rugby career doesn't work out, he can join the magic circle, can't he?
He really can, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Now, Lawrence, you are clearly struggling with your voice, but you've been on a cycle slam and 3 days working for TNT. I'm hoping, though, that England captain Marley Packer, who is joining us now, is similarly struggling. 2-day hangover, Marley?
Yeah, a little bit. To be fair, it's more just tiredness. We had a ridiculous flight time where quite a few of the players didn't get to bed, so it's more tiredness than hangover.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations on claiming your 3rd Grand Slam in a row. Fantastic. We were all delighted to see that. I actually heard an interview with Emily Scarrett, and she did say that you were all planning to stay up all night. Did you manage to do that before you flew back?
Most of the girls did. Personally, I did go to bed, but I think I suffered worse because I only got an hour's sleep. I should have just powered through.
Listen, it was a superb tournament for the Red Roses. Your consistency across all the performances, but to go away from home against probably the most competitive team that you play, France, to sort of silence the crowd and to do it quite comprehensively in the end, must have been very satisfying for you and the team.
Yeah, really satisfying. I think as well, the bit about silencing the crowd was massive. But also with that, I think the last 3 or 4 French games we've played, the result hasn't been much more than 5 to 10 points difference, whereas there was a big margin in this game. And I think that just shows where we are as the Red Roses and where we plan to take our game.
if you reflect on the game itself, I mean, other than Megan Jones's intercept, it was a proper forward performance, wasn't it? All the tries scored by the forwards. We don't need the backs, do we?
Yeah, it was one of those games. And to be fair, all tournament had been about the backs, especially our back three. They've been on fire. So actually, to get the forward performance like we did, to give the backs front foot ball, but still we were doing the hard work and getting the tries. Alex Matthews, outstanding game. Maud Muir, she had another great game. I just think a lot of forwards just really stepped up their game.
Yeah. I saw somewhere on social media a picture of John Mitchell standing up. Was he necking a pint of beer or something? He was very emotional at the end. It's obviously his first season as your new head coach of the Red Roses. Clearly, he's mixed things up a bit in terms of selection. None of us ever like being put on the bench. I'm sure you're the same as well, regardless. But clearly, whatever he's done, it's really worked, isn't it? Because it kind of brought everything to a boil for the game that really mattered, and you produced probably your best performance of the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. I think we talk about letting off the handbrake as the squad, and he showed us a video of his granddaughter at the beginning of Six Nations. I think it was like 45 days. And then his granddaughter comes sliding in on a go-kart and like letting the handbrake off and down. And he basically said to us, that's what he wants us to do over this next 45 days, but enjoy it with a smile on our face. And then, you know, to get the result like we did, but for him, I think coaching us as the Red Roses has opened his eyes to probably a little bit different in the men's game. And I think he's really thoroughly enjoyed it. I think he knows we've got even more levels to go up. And yeah, just really looking forward to the John Mitchell era, really. I think it's well and truly started. And 2025 is just in the horizon for us.
Has Oliver got a handbrake on his go-kart?
No, not at the moment. He's more into, he's got a little JTB digger, to be fair, there. He's got a tipper, so he lets that off.
So coming next, you've got New Zealand in the autumn before you go off to WXV1. How much are you looking forward, and do you think you can sell out Twickenham before you go away?
Yeah, I generally believe we can sell out Twickenham before we go away. With that, it'll be a massive occasion. We don't play New Zealand on our home ground, like our home soil, that often. So to do it at Twickenham, in the way we put the performance in against Ireland and the crowd behind us, I think like looking forward to that will be massive for us. But also I think we're playing France as well. So it'd be two really big tests going into WXV, and to just show where we really are. Like, there's a lot of rugby to be played from now till then. We all go back to our PWR clubs next week, and it's a tough back end of the season for a lot of teams. So then coming back off our break and going straight into pre-season for WXV is it's going to be a tough one.
Do you get some time off now then, or not?
I'm actually off now until next Monday. I'm back in at club. I've just got a home gym session and a home running session to do. Depending on the amount of game time, what you played in the tournament, it looks different for different players. I'm fortunate enough, I actually get the full time off, whereas some players might go back to club training on Thursday just to reintegrate. And some players might actually want to do that as well. I think it's very apparent for players now to make sure they get the right decompression for them, for just their own headspace. And sometimes we don't understand just how much of a toll a tournament takes out of you, whether that's you're a starting player and you're playing in all the games, or even if someone that you're in the squad but you don't get on the pitch, it's still a roller coaster for you. So it's making sure what time off it works for you as a player.
Where have you gone? Have you got Saint-Tropez or somewhere nice to get a bit of downtime? Or
oh, I wish. No, I'm actually in Butlins in Bognor Regis right now. it's embarrassing, really. No, so I just got a few days with Oliver, so I thought I'd just take him somewhere where he's going to be completely active for 3 days, and then he'd be knackered by the evening and I can just put my feet up and chill.
Well, you never know, the sun might shine at some point
well,
in England.
Hopefully.
Marley, obviously, congratulations massive to you as captain, to John Mitchell as the Red Roses coach. Is there any particular players that you'd like to single out across the squad that have maybe moving on? I don't know. Is there someone that you want to shout out across the tournament that's really stood out for you?
I think standout performance, Ellie Cordun. I think she won 3 out of the 5 man on the matches for the Red Roses, and she's been electric this tournament. Meg Jones, she's been massive. I think, not just on the pitch for us, but how she conducts herself off the pitch, the energy she brings. And then also the fact of Abby Ward, Emily Scarrett coming back into the squad, for one from a long-term injury, which was really tough for Scars. But then also Abby Ward coming back from having a little wee Hallie is just incredible. So I think those players, I take my hat off to them. They've been phenomenal this tournament.
Now, we're in association with QBE Business Insurance. We're looking at how we grow the game. Marley, what's the one thing that you would like to see happen for next year's Women's Six Nations to help raise the profile even higher in the women's game?
I think just in the lead up to it, next year's Six Nations will also be building into 2025. So the stadiums where we're deciding to play our games, actually, let's make sure that they're in big enough stadiums to get crowds in. But when we go on the road, they're places where we can get more Red Roses fans to the games at reasonable price tickets. Because I think, you know, it's a great day out. If we can get more people there, they're going to keep coming back because it's a great game to watch.
It is. You can't say it, but I'll say it. If Bill Sweeney is listening, please don't change the ticket pricing for the women's game. He was indicating today that perhaps they're a little bit too cheap. But
well,
I think
you can change it for the men's game, Bill, because they're a little bit too expensive.
Yeah,
let
too
me
expensive.
Tell you that now.
Yeah, definitely. you must be, one more thing, though. You must be delighted to see Saracens win first silverware of the season. And I have to say, that Tiki Tonga after the game, complete with wigs and masks for Sonia Green, was it her last game, was it? Is that why they did it?
Yeah, so Sonia Green, she's been Saracens through and through. I can't tell you how many years she's played for them, but she's been a one club, one player girl. And she's got over 300 appearances, many titles. And yeah, that was her final game. So to win the cup game like they did, the girls put a real good effort in. They got faces made up of her. Sonia's always got like different colour hair, so if it's purple or red, so that's what the wigs were for, just to bring a little bit more to it. And I think they had a good social last night. So yeah, full credit to her. She's been a great servant of the game, but I know that she'll carry on coming to Saracens, and like, she's a principal at Saracens High School. So yeah, fair play to her.
Well, brilliant for you to have joined us for the entire Women's Six Nations. Really thank you for coming on and giving us your insight, educating us, and also, as you know, I went to a game and thoroughly enjoyed it. So it's been a real pleasure to have you on. Best of luck with your time off now with Oliver at Butlins, and we look forward to catching up with you again very, very soon. But again, fantastic, congratulations on winning the Women's Six Nations.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Marley.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Lots of love. Bye now.
Marley's great, isn't she, Lawrence? Isn't it great to have an England team who are the best in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really feel that the challenge for the Red Roses is to, you know, to take things up to the next level. And with John Mitchell coming on board, I really feel like they've achieved that. They've certainly hit the ground running. There was a real sense of them building throughout this tournament. And, you know, listen, I've lost three Grand Slams going away from home in the last game. So to close one out against the French, who are probably the best opponent that they'll play against in such an emphatic style, I think, congratulations. And look, it's great for women's rugby. It's great for England. And Bill Sweeney, don't put the ticket prices up.
No, please don't. Anyway, joining us now is the Evening Standard rugby correspondent, Nick Purriwell. Nick, I'm missing you. You're not with me this week. How are you? How's your weekend been?
Yeah, good, Steve. Very well, thank you. Yeah, all good. Yeah, sorry not to be with you today, but glad to see Lawrence back in his rightful throne.
A little bit sore and a bit of a slam cycling throat, but not as sore as Gloucester were at the weekend, Nick, when obviously half of the team went missing in action and saving themselves for the Challenge Cup semi-final against Benetton on Sunday, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams in the league who are just that bit of a distance away from everyone else, aren't they, at the moment? And it shouldn't be nothing more frustrating than everyone at Gloucester, and especially the crowd at King's Home, to lose games at home, especially in that manner and context. And yeah, they've got to hope that they can get themselves back on track and win a massive game for them this weekend, salvage something out of another difficult season.
Now, we've got two huge games in the Champions Cup. Leinster against Northampton on Saturday, 5:30 at Croke Park, and then Toulouse against Harlequins on Sunday at 3:00. And we've just had Tommy Freeman on the show with us, Nick. Do you think Northampton have a chance going away to Leinster?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think, obviously, all the odds and everything will be stacked in favour of the home side. And I think the Croke Park factor is massive. But also, when we were talking about Harlequins going over to Bordeaux, we were saying, yes, they've got a chance, but it's minimal. And they went over there and they got the job done. And contextually, the way the other results had gone, they shouldn't have gone and won that game, but they did because that's what can happen. And just because Northampton lost at Twickenham to Quins doesn't mean they can't go and pull off a massive, massive result now. I think that's one of the great things about those two teams in particular, the style they play, the way they approach the game, the way they're deciding to try to put teams to the sword. They will take an approach of, well, we'll try and outscore you and we'll do everything we can to do that. And so they've got a chance. I mean, obviously you'd expect it to be Leinster and you'd lean on that. And I don't think anybody, even people in Northampton, would take any offence at you saying that. But equally, they also know they've got a real good chance and they're very, very focused for the assignment.
What do you think, Lowell? Are you covering that game?
I am. I'm in Dublin for TNT on the Saturday. It's the third game of the day, so it's a late kickoff. I mean, look, if we'd have picked four semi-finalists for the Investec Champions Cup at the beginning of the tournament, I think we'd have definitely picked Leinster and Toulouse to be two of them. Mm. It's fair to say we wouldn't have picked Harlequins or Northampton. Harlequins, their first final since they won the competition way back with Pat Lamb, and Quins, their first ever semi-final, but they deserve to be there.
Yep.
The Leinster-Northampton game, it's always a tough assignment going over there, but Northampton will have the fairly recent memory of beating Munster over at Thomond Park. So yep. If you could beat Munster in Thomond Park, then, you know, please don't tell me you can't beat Leinster. It's going to be tough. For me, yes, they're in a great attacking side, as are Leinster, with stellar players all over the pitch. But the two things you need to win a European Cup, awesome defence, which is run by Lee Radford. And if that can be at its very best and find a way to counter what is a very, very potent attack. And the other thing is you need a tight five, you know, a set piece and a scrum that can hold up. And Northampton's problems in the last few years is that they've been attractive to watch, easy on the eye, scoring bucket loads of tries. But when push comes to shove, quite literally, they've not had the set piece. Now, this season, from nowhere, they've found not just the starting pack, but some replacements that can really challenge. So if their set piece holds up against Leinster and their defence is at its brilliant best, they can win. I can tell you now, I played in a semi-final in Ireland in Lansdowne Road against Munster. The lead changed hands 15 times. There were yellow cards everywhere. Mm. And when the music stopped, we were lucky enough to just be ahead with a try from Trevor Leota. If they can pull off a performance like that, I'd be absolutely thrilled for them because, you know, it's a really well-run club. And it's almost like a David against Goliath, really, when you look at the resources available. It's Ireland against the Saints.
Yeah, so that one could be a close one to call. Toulouse, Harlequins. I mean, Harlequins going over there with, well, they're really up against it, aren't they, Nick?
Absolutely. This Toulouse team is one of the best teams going. Saw Blair Kinghorn talking about saying he'd join the best team in the world and waxing lyrical about everything that's involved in that. And, you know, we know Jack Willis well and how much he's improved being there and what it's done to his game and his all-round ability. And he's loving the lifestyle and everything that comes with it. And yeah, I think, you know, the squad, the depth, the breadth of it, the ability to play in different ways, an all-court game, Antoine Dupont, I think that's probably the team that if you had to tip one team now to win the whole thing, that's the team you'd be tipping. And I don't think anybody would have too many complaints with that because they're a serious, serious rugby team that can kind of do it all. But equally, you just never know, do you? I mean, obviously, Toulouse dealt with Harlequins fairly comfortably at the Stoop earlier in the season. So that's a fairly ominous portent. But equally, a lot's changed since then, not least Harlequins going and claiming that win in Bordeaux in total madcap fashion. And they're still very buoyant from that, as I think evidenced by the win over Northampton at Twickenham at the weekend. And if there's one team that can pull off something outrageous, it's Quins. But I feel like this might be one miracle too much, to be honest.
We had Will Collier on the show, Lawrence, while you were away on Slam. How key is that scrum going to be for Quins again?
Yeah. Absolutely. He's up against Cyril Bye, who's no slouch himself. But listen, Will Collier's got the tools and the minerals to take him on. You know, he's probably one of England's best tight heads and has been for the best part of 5 years. And if you speak to Phil Keith Roach, he probably should have been capped ahead of a lot of players who did get capped. But look, Quins, what they can't do is give themselves a mountain to climb because they are the serial Houdini act, aren't they, really? Where they're so dangerous with the likes of Kerr and Smith and so many great players, Estes and in his swan song. You know, they've got threats all over the park. But against Bordeaux, I think they went, 20 points down or something and 25 points down. And somehow they managed to pull themselves back. But against a side like Toulouse, if you go that far behind, you won't get back. Mm. And so I think they know that. I'm excited by it. I didn't give them a hope in hell in Bordeaux.
No.
And look, if you can win in Bordeaux, because they're a serious team, then you can win in Toulouse. And that's what they've got to be saying to themselves. No one expects them to win. There's a shot to nothing. Now, if this game was played 10 times, I think Quins could win it once, possibly twice, which means that Toulouse are going to win it eight or nine times. So, and the same with Northampton, really. Hand on heart, I think these English clubs are doing incredibly well. But if you're playing at home in the Investec Champions Cup and you lose in a semi-final against an English opponent, you'd be very disappointed.
So give me your finalists then for the Investec Champions Cup at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on May 25th. Who's it going to be, Lawrence?
I feel like Leinster will be fired up by the fact that England beat Ireland at Twickenham, and I think they might just have a little bit too much. Mm. At Croke Park, the atmosphere will be sensational, and I'll let Nick pick the winner of the game over in Toulouse.
I think it's hard to look past Toulouse. I think especially as Ntamack's back and Thomas Ramos can obviously step up and run the game in a totally different way at 10 if they need to mix it up. But they've just got so many options. And yeah, I feel like Harlequins will give it absolutely everything. But yeah, like I said, maybe this is just one miracle too many.
And the final's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So there will be a trophy in the stadium at some point.
There will. Oh, I see what you did there. You've done that ahead of Chelsea playing Tottenham on Thursday.
Well, listen, there will be a trophy there. I mean, not just the one that's on the top of the stand either.
Well, I for one hope there's an English team in the final. But yeah, I think we need
I hope there's two English teams in the final. But, you know, I think that their time may well yet come. But it may well not be this year.
No, be a shame.
Thanks, everyone, for this week. My special thanks go to Steve, to Nick, and our guests, Tommy Freeman and Marley Packer, and, of course, our hosts here, Vox Pod Studios. But we'll be back next week. But until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.